Thank you. For our deacons, just so you know, we have deliveries to make this week for Christmas, and if you could, immediately after the service, we have baskets over here, and Sylvia can meet you, and you can go to the homes that you would like to go to, and we can assign you some if you don't have them to go to. So we need help getting about 50 baskets out this week, and so that's Deacon Ministry. This year we were not able to do our banquet for widows and widowers, and so we have another route we are going to bless those lives at Christmas, and so we look forward to that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to begin in the 18th verse. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would make this indeed a special time of worship. Thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. The birth of Jesus caught many by surprise. Mary heard about it the first time from an angel. Wow, what a surprise that was. The only woman in history to have that particular meeting. The only time she had ever seen an angel, and that angel brings her a message of surprise. Joseph had to be counseled by an angel, and I guarantee you, he was surprised. Shepherds out on the hillside tending their flocks at night, a regular night, getting those sheep ready for the time that they would be sacrificed. And as they are tending those sheep, an angel. And let me tell you, they were surprised. And to add to their surprise, after the angel gave them the information that the Christ child, the Messiah, had come, there was a host of angels, and they were praising God. It was a time of surprise. It's what I call a Gomer Pyle moment. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You got to be of a certain age to get that. In fact, while it was a surprise to them, it should not have been a surprise at all. God had laid out in detail what was going to take place. He had told them before this had come. Listen, when God tells you something, you need to take note of it. It's going to happen. And yet when it did happen, it came to them as a surprise. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it was told that he would be born of a virgin. It was told that he would be born in the time of a new star. Isaiah told of the birth of Jesus, and then in Isaiah 53, he lays out the death of Jesus, and he tells a very graphic description of the cross. And after that, he proclaims, who shall declare his generations? Who? Who is going to tell the generations of the Messiah? Well, if you read your Bible and you get into the New Testament, you know who. Matthew and Luke. They lay out the generations. Now, having set the stage by giving the legal lineage of Jesus, Matthew tells us the surprise has come. Messiah is real. May I tell you today, we are gathered together today because the Messiah is real. The promise has come. The birth of Jesus is spoken about in verse 18. The word used for birth is the same word used to open our Bible, Genesis. You see, in Genesis we have the beginning. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now in the first of Matthew, we have the creation on the earth of the Creator. The one who formed it all came back to be on it all, and he came for us all. Now, Matthew speaks a little different story. If you read Luke, you get a slightly different edge. What's the difference? Well, Matthew is talking from the side of Joseph. Luke talks from the side of Mary. We don't have a lot of information about Joseph. You can read a lot about Mary. In fact, from history, you can read book after book after book on Mary. You'll find very few, if any, about Joseph. It's kind of like a wedding. At a wedding, it's all about the bride. The groom is just over there somewhere. He doesn't seem to be important, but without him, there would not be a wedding. Joseph is in the background of the Christmas story, but let me assure you, Joseph is very, very important. In fact, do you remember all the valuable things we have from Joseph, the things that he told us from the Bible? I made an intensive study, and I've memorized every single word that Joseph has said. And I just want to share those with you. You ready? Yeah, that was it. He never talks. In the entire Bible, Joseph does not say one word, probably setting the standard for most husbands that would come after him. Joseph was a carpenter. He was the postboy for Strong Silent Type. The Bible encourages us to be careful how we use our words. It seems that Joseph must have mastered that. The Bible says, "Let every man be quick to hear, slow to wrath, and slow to speak." Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. Have you ever said something and wished that you could put it back in, but you can't? Once it's out there, it's out there, and sometimes it can do damage. It is good to watch your words. May I tell you, at Christmas, it's good to watch your words. You may be around some family members, and they may say some things you don't like, and you may want to say something back. Good to watch your words. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was only 10 sentences long, and yet we still hear of it today. Washington had the shortest inaugural address. I wish other politicians had learned from him. Just 135 words, and he is revered. William Henry Harrison had the longest presidential address, 8,445 words. He spoke so long, in fact, that he caused himself to get sick. He spoke in a driving snowstorm. He got pneumonia and died 31 days later. Well, President-elect Biden better be careful if Kamala wants to pad his speech. Joseph was the type of man that Mary and Joseph needed. He was God's choice. Why was it important that he be chosen? Somebody had to watch after the Christ child. Somebody had to protect Mary. Had their protection not been intact, had they not been guarded in those early days, they would not have survived. Herod the king wanted to kill the baby, and Mary may have been slaughtered as well. You know, there are two important Josephs in the life of Jesus. There was a Joseph at the birth of Jesus, and there's a Joseph at the death of Jesus. Caring for him at moments when he could not care for himself. Jesus had two fathers. He had an earthly father and a heavenly father. You know, we need everybody to have two fathers. Earthly fathers are sometimes pushed aside, but we need men who will stand up for what is right. We need men who will set a standard. We need men who will lead their families in worship. We need men that will seek to lead the country toward God's desires. Joseph is the kind of guy we need. We see Joseph's vexation in verse 18. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, the Bible says. You know, that line tells us of a love story. Perhaps Joseph the carpenter had done some work for Mary's parents, and the young lady caught his eye. He began to hang around. His work began to take a long time. Maybe that's the first time carpenter started saying it'll be done in 2 weeks. And it stretches on. At some point, they developed a relationship and love grew. The scripture says, before they came together, they were betrothed. Now, in Jewish life, marriage had at least three steps. There was the contract. That is a formal agreement of the union that would take place. There was the betrothal. That is engagement. They believed in long engagements. And that engagement period was an official period. In fact, to break an engagement took a legal action. And so the betrothal was very important. They would learn to know one another. And then there was the marriage itself, or the consummation of the relationship. Normally, the young couple didn't have anything to do with the first stage. Many times that was set in action by the parents. We don't know if that's what took place here. But the contract would have been made. The betrothal, the extended engagement period, was where the couple would formally get to know one another. Couples need to talk to each other. They need to learn each other's likes and dislikes. They need to learn each other's honesty, dependability, and purity. You know, couples that are contemplating being together need to understand there is a lifelong commitment they are making. And so it should not be taken lightly. And by the way, that commitment should be made. We have it very popular today for people just to shack up, to live together without the benefit of marriage. That is to live together without the commitment. And they will say, what is a legal commitment? Well, listen, if you're not willing to make a legal commitment, you're probably not willing to stand by the person with all your heart. And so it is important. And yes, we urge all young people, all people, to determine that you'll wait until marriage for sexual activity, intimacy, saving that gift that God has given you for your mate. The third stage was marriage, or the consummation of the union. Now, it was during the engagement period that Joseph has his problem. Mary had taken a trip. She had gone to see her cousin, not an uncommon thing. She went to stay a while with her cousin, and when she got back, Joseph noticed something was different. On most people, pregnancy cannot be hidden. Mary possibly could not hide hers. Joseph learned Mary was pregnant. He knew the baby wasn't his. How did he know? Because he had honored her. He had honored God. He had kept their relationship pure. They had not had any sexual relations. Mary told Joseph this child was from God. Now, can you imagine Joseph's position? I mean, at that moment, all he had was her word. She's telling him, she's expecting, and it is a God thing, and she did not betray him. He had come to love her, to trust her. But you got to admit, this is hard to take. What would you say? Mary says, God has chosen me to be the mother of the Messiah. Well, certainly Joseph knew the Messiah was to come. He knew that all young girls dreamed of the fact that they might be the mother of the Messiah. And now his fiance is telling him that she's the one God's chosen, and now she's expecting. Have you ever had a problem and you didn't know which way to turn? We are in a day where the world doesn't know where to turn. May I encourage you, and you encourage them, to turn to God's word. Turn to God and turn to the one that absolutely knows how and to handle your situation and can direct you. Bring Jesus in to your difficulty, and he will guide you. Joseph came up with a plan. Verse 19, Joseph being a just man. Just means straight. Nothing crooked about him. He's trying to live toward God. He's trying to live a righteous life. He wanted to do the right thing. May I tell you, this is the type of man that all men should want to be. And this is the type of man, if you're looking for a spouse, that you should look for. We often think of a young lady, and we tell young ladies that they need to stay pure, they need to guard themselves from sexual activity prior to marriage. Well, you know, the same is true for young men. Joseph has great stress. He's caught between the law and love. Maybe he went to the scrolls of the scripture and he went through them and he found Deuteronomy 24:1. And Deuteronomy 24:1 is a verse that gives provision for a man to separate from his wife or his fiance if there's any impurity found. The law said that the woman could be taken out and stoned to death. There's only one that could solve this problem between law and love, and that is God himself. Remember a woman that was taken in adultery and brought before Jesus? They caught her, they drug her, they put her there, and they put the question to Jesus, what to do, law or love? And Jesus said, let the one that is among you that is without sin cast the first stone. And as they were before Jesus, and as his purity cautioned them, they understood that they were all sinners. And they all dropped their stones and walked away. Jesus said to the woman, where are your accusers? Does no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. The only one that actually had the place to condemn her, the one that was without sin, that could condemn her, that could put her to death, gave her mercy. He took her punishment. He was saying, I'll take your punishment and I'll give you my forgiveness. That is the message of Christmas. When God gives us Jesus, he's saying, I'm giving you my precious son who will take your sin and take the punishment for your sin. And I will give you my love, my forgiveness, my forever. That's the Christmas gift. Joseph had convictions, but he also had compassion. So he decides in the best thought that he could have that he's going to put her away privately. He certainly is not going to harm her, but he's going to let her be away privately so no one would know what took place and the gossips wouldn't have their way and would not say harmful things in that small town. He would put her away to protect her. Brokenhearted. And so Joseph has a vexation, but he also has a vision. He had a dream, and in that dream, the angel of the Lord visited him. This is at least the third visit by an angel during this season. The angel had important news for Joseph. The angel told Joseph the cause for Mary's conception. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife. Joseph had all kinds of fears. Maybe you have all kinds of fears. Today, this virus is causing all kinds of fears. We need to bring our fears to God. The angel tells Joseph what we already know. This one that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph is let in on the secret. Mary knows, now Joseph knows. This was going to be a supernatural birth. Let me hasten to say, every birth is a miracle. Every single one. But this one would be more so than all the others. Listen, I understand some people have a problem believing in a virgin birth. If you can believe Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, if God could create the heavens and the earth, he can take care of a virgin birth. If you can accept Genesis 1:1, you shouldn't have a problem with anything else in the scripture. Jesus had an earthly mother that he might be human. He had a divine father that he might be sinless and divine. He had to have a human mother for him to have a human body, for him to have a body to be able to sacrifice on a cross for you and for me. God reveals to Joseph that Mary was still pure. Her pregnancy was the one promised from time before by God. Then the angel reveals the nature of the baby in verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. In verse 23, you shall call him Emmanuel. These are Christmas names. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What a precious name. In the Hebrew, it's Joshua. It means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is salvation. It had become a common name. But now it becomes the holiest of names. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the most wonderful name of all time. Jesus shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is the one that brings hope. Jesus is the one that brings forgiveness. It is the most precious name. We need to keep it in our hearts. We need to pray. We need to pray for him, and we need to lift him up in prayer. And we need to proclaim to others, Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. This is the message of Christmas. For the first time in the New Testament, God identifies our problem is sin, and his answer to sin, the one that would rescue us, is Jesus. The only answer for the greatest needs in your life is Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Today, anybody can call on his name and be saved. Encourage those around you to do so. And if you haven't, you need to do so yourself. In verse 22, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled. Well, fulfilled is an important word in Scripture. It means that what God said would happen has happened. God's proof is in place. Matthew shows that Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of all the prophecies. God had sent the Messiah. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall be with child. We've spoken about this before, and yet, just to remind you, if Jesus had not been born of a virgin, he would have had an earthly father. If he had had an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature. If he had had a sin nature, he would sin. If he sinned, he could not be our perfect Savior. He could not be the offering for our forgiveness. If Jesus is not our Savior, we are lost and doomed to a devil's hell. Oh, how important the virgin birth is. The other name given for Jesus, the other Christmas name, is Emmanuel, God with us. The miracle of miracles is that God showed up. God came down. I don't know that you can imagine, I don't think we actually can imagine the indignity that Jesus went through to be on the throne of glory, to be the creator of all, and to subject himself to a diaper, to a stall, to others' care. When Jesus was born, God came to earth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The good news of Christmas is God came down, and if you receive Him, you will know His glory, you will know His forgiveness, you will know His peace, you will know all the joys that Christmas brings. And so we see Joseph's victory. What did Joseph decide? Well, in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. Joseph made a determination. He would be faithful to God's word. He would do exactly what God wanted him to do. The greatest single decision you will ever make in life, the greatest gift you can ever give to those that you love, is that you are going to do what God wants you to do. He stood by Mary. He took Mary to Bethlehem. He stood by her in the manger. He carried her to Egypt for safety. He brought her back to Nazareth and gave her a home. Oh, how we need to be faithful to the will of God. He decided that he would do what Jesus wanted. Verse 25, Joseph did not know Mary until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus. Most men in that day would name their first son after themselves. Joseph knew where this child came from. He gives the name that God gave him, Jesus. In Luke, we find that Mary called him Jesus. So Mary and Joseph came together with a determination, they're going to do things God's way. How different it would make our world for couples to come together, for marriages to come together and determine, we're going to do things God's way. We're going to raise our children God's way. We're going to carry out God's wishes God's way. We're going to treat our grandchildren God's way. We're going to put God first. We're going to glorify Him. We are going to worship Him. And we're going to seek to lead others to Him. Jesus was born. It was hardly noticed on the earth. And yet, all the angels rejoiced. Hardly noticed on the earth. And yet, 10,000 years from now, those of us that know Jesus will be in His presence, praising Him that He chose to come to a manger. For you, for me. This is the Christmas story. It brings glory. Glory that we can become part of if we will hold to Him. Strength. We need strength today. We have God's Christmas strength, His gift to stand by us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that what we want for Christmas? Isn't that what we want for the rest of our lives? What we must do is surrender to His will, and we will know His peace, His love, His forgiveness, His joy all the things that are wrapped up in Christmas. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts. Certainly, Lord, if there is anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray that they would come to know you, that they would receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Father, I pray for believers, the bulk of the people in this room that will listen today, know you, Father. Lord, in this troubled time, center our hearts on Jesus, on the true joy that Christmas brings. Father, let us remember all that was done so we might have your joy, your peace, your forgiveness, your hope, your blessings this Christmas and forevermore. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you have your cards. Those are very, very important that you fill out.